An unconscious Klingon is tied crucifix style in a laboratory.
Regeneration phase completed. Deactivate the Genitron. Shut down the biomatrix. B'Elanna? B'Elanna Torres. Wake up.
British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek Voyager, based on Star Trek created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Faces. Gas explodes outwards in a huge arc from an enormous sun. Nuclear reactions in the star's core send great gouts of flame thousands of miles into space. The Federation starship Voyager flies through a giant arc of fire on its continuing journey to find home. Its captain is Catherine Janeway. The starship Voyager pushes through clouds of dust and gas. Its flat oval bow raised above and forward of the cylindrical body to which the engine arms are fixed forges a path through the unknown darkness of space. Billions of stars shine throughout the universe, illuminating huge gas clouds and multicolored planets. A blue-green planet is framed in a golden glow, surrounded by the jagged illuminations of gas and space debris. Voyager flies past great rocks covered in ice and on into the farthest reaches of infinite space. A blue-gray planet streaked with clouds turns in space. Its gravitational pull holds fragments of rock, the debris of dead planets and comets, in a thin band encircling the planet like a giant ring. As Voyager passes beyond the ringed planet and on towards others, an unknown sun eclipsed by a satellite moon is revealed as the moon moves on its eternal orbit. The darkness itself is eclipsed by the star's intense brightness. Millions of miles ahead of Voyager, a gigantic gaseous blue and red nebula proves the existence of many more galaxies. The engines power up, glowing bright blue either side of the starship, and it lunges forward, accelerating into the nebula and disappearing.
Captain's log, stardate 48784.2. We have completed our survey of the Avery system and are returning to retrieve Lieutenants Paris, Torres, and Durst. By now, they should have concluded their inspection of the magnesite formations on the third planet.
Here we are, Mr. Tuvok. One bowl of authentic Vulcan Plomeek soup.
As I have told you, Mr. Neelix, this is an unnecessary indulgence. I am quite content to eat whatever the rest of the crew is eating.
Nonsense. Everyone aboard this ship deserves a little taste of home every now and then.
Very well, then. Thank you.
Don't thank me. I'm having a marvelous time experimenting with the native dishes of the entire crew. So far, I've learned to make corn salad for Mr. Chakotay and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for Mr. Paris. He calls it comfort food. Isn't that charming? What are you waiting for? It's no good cold. Well?
It is rather piquant.
It is zesty, isn't it? And I tried following the recipe in the computer's databank, but it's so bland. So I took the liberty of spicing it up a bit. Call it Plomeek soup a la Neelix.
I must point out that if you take the liberty of changing a time-honored recipe, you are hardly presenting a taste of home.
Senior officers, please report to the bridge.
But your soup.
Please, enjoy it.
Oh, there's no place like home.
The away team hasn't arrived at the prearranged coordinates, Captain, and they've failed to respond to our hails.
Have you tried locking onto their comm signals?
We scanned the entire surface. No sign of them. They must still be underground, but I can't locate them there either.
Then, as we suspected, the dense magnesite formations in the planet's crust are blocking our sensors.
Take a look at this. This is the cave system nearest the beam-in coordinates, as it appeared in our initial geological scan. And this is the same system now. This tunnel here is shifted to the west by almost 75 degrees.
Are you saying walls of solid rock have changed shape in the 2 days since the away team was deployed?
Apparently so, Captain, but our initial scans didn't indicate tectonic activity of anywhere near that magnitude.
In any case, it's possible that Torres and the others haven't returned to the beam out site because they were trapped by these geological shifts. I'd like to lead a team down to investigate, Captain.
And what is to prevent us from losing you as well, Commander?
Breadcrumbs.
Ensign?
I'm sorry, Captain.
What I mean to say is, I think I can modify some subspace transponders, which could be deployed along the commander's path, kind of like...
breadcrumbs. Got it.
If they're placed at regular intervals, I believe they'll maintain a signal link with the ship, and they could serve as a transporter relay in case we need to stage an emergency beam out.
Very well, Commander. Take a team with you, but I want a transporter lock on you at all times.
Aye, Captain. Tuvok, Kim, you're with me.
A long conveyor bed is withdrawn from a regeneration tube. On it lies B'Elanna Torres. She is restrained with arm cuffs and is suffering some discomfort. A disease-ravaged alien leans over her.
I apologize for the restraints, but your presence here is very important to us. Do you understand?
Who are you?
I am Sulan, chief surgeon of the Vidian Sodality.
I demand to know what is happening here.
Sulan picks up a small mirror and holds it over Torres' face.
You've surgically altered my face. I look like a Klingon.
I've performed no surgery, as you understand the term. There are several questions I need to ask you before we proceed.
You can't possibly believe I'm going to cooperate with you.
Perhaps I was in error to leave your consciousness and memory intact.
Durst. Paris. What have you done with them?
What is your exact age, Klingon?
If you want me to answer your question, you will have to answer one of mine first.
Very well.
What exactly have you done to me?
I have reconstituted your genome. You are now purely Klingon.
That's not possible.
I assure you it is. I have developed a procedure to stimulate cell division. A kind of enhanced mitosis. Your Klingon genetic material was extracted. It was then converted from matter to energy by our genitron. Finally, you were rematerialized as the purified Klingon specimen that you are now.
Why? Why have you done this?
For generations, my people have been searching the Quadrant for a species immune to our disease in the hope that it would lead us to a cure.
And you think Klingons are immune to this phage?
I believe your genetic structure has phage-resistant nucleotide sequences, yes. But I needed a pure specimen to be certain. My people do not know it yet. But you are their greatest hope.
I will never help you!
You are very strong. I can only hope that you will be truly resistant to the phage.
And how will you know that?
I have infected you.
A line of weary, suffering prisoners are led through a corridor. Paris and Durst are among them. They seem unaffected by the phage. Durst is pushed forward by a guard and retaliates.
They're the ones with the guns, remember?
With weapons drawn, the guards shepherd the two Starfleet officers into a room and metal bunks along one side. Durst sits on the bottom bunk and they wait for the guards to leave.
We've got to find a way out of this place.
Agreed. But I don't want to do anything until we find out what they've done with B'Elanna. In the meantime, we have to keep track of the guards' movements. How long are their shifts? When do they eat? When do they sleep?
There don't seem to be many of them. I guess they figure we're all so exhausted we don't have any fight left.
We'll find an opening, Pete. And when the time is right, we'll make our move.
Something funny, friend?
You.
Really? How's that?
Nobody ever escapes from this place. Those Vidian leeches can yank the beating heart out of you. In a heartbeat. Heart out of you in a heartbeat. Now that's funny.
Hilarious.
Seems like you know this place pretty well.
I should. I've been here 6 years.
Then tell me something. I thought those Vidians were in the business of harvesting organs. How come we're all still in one piece?
The disease makes them weak. They need somebody to dig their tunnels. That's us. Best way to keep alive around here is to stay strong.
Thanks for the advice.
Oh, but don't worry. They're always in need of replacement body parts. They'll get around to gutting you eventually. But there were 23 of us for my ship. I'm the only one left.
Listen, when they grabbed us, there was a woman with us. B'Elanna Torres. Any idea what might have happened to her?
If she's not here, she's been taken to organ processing.
Tuvok and Chakotay stand on a ledge in an underground cavern on the planet. The rock walls drip with moisture and the gloomy atmosphere has dulled their sense of adventure, but they remain alert and watchful. On a wall, a little way from them, Kim places an electronic transport marker and moves on.
I've deployed the transponders, Commander. The relay signal is coming through clearly.
Good work.
Any sign of them?
According to my tricorder readings, they definitely came this way. The question is, where did they go from here?
Delightful spot to get lost.
Commander, Ensign, over here.
Tuvok bends to pick up a damaged electrical device from the rocky floor.
What is it?
I detect traces of at least 5 humanoid life forms.
5? There were only 3 in the away team.
Evidently, they did not enter this cavern alone.
In the laboratory, Torres is still strapped down. She is in pain. Her skin shines with perspiration and her breathing is sharp and ragged.
Are you in pain?
It's nothing.
Remarkable. One of the symptoms of the early stages of the phage is excruciating joint pain. I find it extraordinary that you can endure it. Some who are infected have been known to die from the agony itself.
It's going to take more than an infection to kill me.
It appears you are correct. Your body is successfully fighting off the phage. I am overjoyed.
How delightful for you.
Soon we will begin a series of procedures, replicating your genetic code and attempting various methods of integrating your DNA with our own. In time, we'll be successful and eliminate the phage forever. When that time comes, you will be honored as a hero by my people.
I know I'm the first Klingon you've ever seen. So I'll tell you that Klingons find honor as warriors on the battlefield, not as guinea pigs in a laboratory.
Earlier you accused me of mutilating you. Now you sound positively proud to be Klingon. You have me to thank for that, B'Elanna.
You'll get no gratitude from me.
Perhaps you'll feel different in time. But I don't blame you for your obstinance. I would be proud, too, with a form as handsome as yours. I believe Klingons are the most impressive species I have ever seen.
Tom Paris is asleep in the dormitory holding cell as a guard drags a woman in. She wears a Starfleet uniform and is exhausted and tearful. The guard pushes her onto a bunk and exits. Paris rolls over and she sees his face. Quickly, she drops to the side of his bunk. She is human.
Tom.
have they done to you?
I remember them grabbing us outside the caves. And then I guess I just blacked out.
Yeah, they stunned all of us.
The next thing I knew, they were waking me up in some kind of laboratory. I was so groggy, I couldn't see. I asked them what they had done to me, and then one of them said that they had completely extracted my Klingon DNA.
It doesn't seem possible. But you look human.
I feel so weak, sick to my stomach.
Considering what they've done to you, I'm not surprised.
So strange.
What?
When I was a child, I did everything I could to hide my forehead. Hats, scarves, you name it.
When I was a kid, I wore a cap to cover the haircuts my father used to make me get. First day of every summer.
I grew up in a colony on Kesik 4. My mother and I were the only Klingons there. And that was a time when relations between the homeworld and the Federation weren't too cordial. Nobody ever said anything, but we were different. And I didn't like that feeling. Then, my father left when I was 5 years old. One day he was there and the next he wasn't. I cried myself to sleep every night for months. But of course I never told anybody. And then I finally decided that he left because I looked like a Klingon. And so I tried to look human.
Looks like you finally got what you wanted.
A tear rolls slowly down her cheek. In the gloomy caverns, Tuvok, Chakotay, and Kim continue their search. They have torches strapped to their wrists and carefully make their way forwards. Each holds a tricorder out in front. Tuvok leads.
Strange.
What is?
According to our last geological scan, this cave should continue straight ahead for another 8 kilometers.
This is solid granite, more than 50 meters.
If these caves were changing configuration while we were here, we certainly would have felt it.
True, Commander. But I do not believe there has been any tectonic activity. I believe this wall is merely an illusion, a disguised force field.
Away team to Voyager.
Go ahead, Commander.
We've run into some type of force field, Captain.
1 minute we were reading an empty tunnel, and the next we walked
right into a solid wall of rock.
Captain, the energy configuration of the force field matrix is virtually identical to those used by the Vidians.
Mr. Ayala, scan for any alien vessels in the sector. Commander, we know from past experience that our phasers can disrupt that force field. I want to find out what's in there.
Aye, Captain.
But I don't want you taking any unnecessary risks. We'll be standing by to implement an emergency beam out.
Acknowledged. It's not working, Captain.
Try reconfiguring your phaser to match the bandwidth modulation.
Commander!
Two guards appear.
Three to beam up!
The Klingon Taurus is still strapped into her bed, but her struggling has loosened one of the wrist cuffs. She concentrates all her strength on the weakness, forcing the metal pin holding the cuff closed to buckle. It suddenly snaps.
B'Elanna? How are you feeling today?
I feel strong. It's very frustrating to be restrained like this.
I sympathize.
I don't like being chained up like an animal.
I'm sorry. I wish they were...
I've been thinking about what you've said. It's because of you that I am Klingon. And I do
like this feeling. In a strange way, I suppose. I am grateful. Did you know that Klingon females are renowned in the Alpha Quadrant not only for their physical prowess, but for their voracious sexual appetites as well? Why not let your creation out of her harness? Study her in action.
I wish it were possible, B'Elanna. But I'm afraid. I can't risk releasing you just yet.
Sulan reaches out a leathery, scabby hand and places it gently on her cheek.
Forgive me.
For what?
Please, don't condescend. I may have a grotesque appearance, but I assure you my instincts are finely honed, and I do have feelings. Hard as it may be for you to imagine, B'Elanna, my people were once handsome and vigorous like yours. And with your help, we will be again. Perhaps when that time comes, I will not disgust you quite so much as I do now.
They're coming to take us to the work details. You can't let them see how sick you are.
Maybe if they think I'm too weak to leave me behind, I could try to get my hands on that console over there.
Or maybe they'll skip the preliminaries and take you straight to organ processing.
The two guards approach B'Elanna and Tom, staring cruelly at them. Suddenly, the lead guard crosses to Durst.
You, come with me.
What for?
You asked to contact your ship. The prefect wishes to discuss your request.
I'm the senior officer here. If your superiors want to talk with one of us, it should be me. He's not going anywhere without me.
Tom, don't. They'll kill you.
Stop!
It's okay, Tom. They're the ones with the guns, remember?
Now that the Vidians know we're here, we have to be prepared for the possibility that they'll call in reinforcements.
So far, long-range sensors haven't located any alien vessels near here.
However, it is possible that the same technology that disguises their force fields cloaks their ships.
The other thing we have to consider is that the prisoners may be at greater risk now.
Captain, take a look at this. Using our tricorder data, I've been able to scan the entire planet for the force field signature, and it looks like the field surrounds an area more than 600 kilometers in circumference.
Is there any way to scan inside it?
Every reconfiguration I've tried has failed.
If it's the same kind of force field the Vidians used the last time we ran into them, why didn't our phasers breach it?
Apparently, it has been adapted to repulse phaser fire.
If the Vidians can move in and out of there, so can we. Start setting up simulations. Find a way to get through that force field.
In the laboratory, Torres struggles against the other cuff. She loosens the pin just as Sulan enters.
B'Elanna? I have something I want to show you.
He approaches her but keeps his head half turned away. As he turns round, a human mask has been placed over his ravaged features.
Durst.
I thought perhaps this new face would make you more comfortable with me.
You've killed him.
Yes, B'Elanna. But his organs will save more than a dozen lives.
Breaking free of her restraint, she leaps from the table and grabs him around the throat. She raises him up, throttling him. Suddenly, the door opens and she drops him, rushing out.
Deep-level scans have revealed a network of microfissures, minuscule openings which develop briefly each time the field matrix remodulates.
Just how small are these microfissures?
Less than 1 micron, and they close up within a few seconds.
Would it be possible to use our phasers to expand one of these openings as it's forming?
That was our first thought. But we realized such an attempt would have to be at close range and would carry the risk of alerting the Vidians to our presence.
So then it occurred to us, if we could narrow the transporter's energy beam tightly enough, it might be possible to transport one of us through the microfissures.
Of course, timing the transport to the precise moment of an opening would be critical.
But if we could get someone inside, we might be able to find our people and also deactivate the force field.
And then, presumably, we could beam everyone back to the ship.
Precisely. But you should be aware that because we are incapable of scanning beyond the force field, we will have no way of communicating with whoever transports inside it, nor will we be able to verify that the transport has been successfully completed.
Moreover, what's to prevent whoever goes in from being captured by the Vidians?
I have an idea about that, Captain.
Thermal stimulator, please.
Chakotay's face has been changed to the disease-ravaged features of a Vidian guard.
Remarkable work, Doctor.
If you think this is remarkable, you should see me remove a bunion.
I have done my best to replicate Vidian attire. I trust it will prove sufficiently convincing.
It's a fine piece of work, Mr. Tuvok. Next time I need a tailor, I'll know just where to look.
Quickly now!
The prisoners carry rocks through the tunnels on the planet.
In there!
Here, B'Elanna. Sit down. Here. It's water. Thanks. Rest while you can. The guard won't be back right away. Keep it.
I've been thinking. When they did this thing to me, I think it changed more than just the way I look.
What do you mean?
Back there, when they took Durst away, I was terrified.
No one could blame you for that.
You don't understand. I've been in worse situations, but I've never felt like that. Never. I mean, my heart was pounding and my hands were shaking. I didn't even try to help you.
B'Elanna, I'm no doctor. But I have to believe that whatever they did to you has seriously depleted your strength. There's nothing you could have done.
No, that's not it. I think that when they extracted my Klingon DNA, they turned me into some kind of...
Sometimes fear can be a good thing. Keeps you from taking unnecessary chances. Courage doesn't mean that you don't have fear. It means that you've learned to overcome it. And I know you can find the courage to hold on until we can find a way out of this place.
What's going on here?
She's ill. She needed a rest.
If she's too weak, I'll take her back to the barracks.
That's okay, Tom. Maybe from there I can try to make contact with the ship.
The emitter array has been initialized, Captain.
Good. Are you ready, Mr. Chakotay?
Captain, there's an opening forming in the force field.
Initiating auto sequence.
Targeting scanners to match coordinates. Scanners locked.
On my mark, Mr. Kim. Energize. Well, now we wait.
A Talaxian prisoner rushes through a tunnel and grabs a water bottle. He is terrified and looks around wildly.
Make a sound and I'll break your neck. Understand? I'm looking for my friend, Tom Paris, a human male. Have you seen him?
He was here, but they sent him to another tunnel.
Which one?
Back that way. There is another human with them, but they took her back to the barracks.
A human female?
The guards in the barracks patrol the bunks. One guard stops beside Belana's where she lies on her side, her eyes closed.
I need your help here.
As the guard leaves, she opens her eyes. Assuring herself that she is alone, she quickly looks around and heads towards the guard station at one end of the barracks. Taurus attacks the guards, knocking them unconscious and grabbing their weapons. As she rises from a crouched position, she looks at Belana lying on the floor. Belana freezes in recognition. Taurus walks slowly towards her and holds out her hand. Helping Belana to her feet, Taurus stares at the human face in front of her. Belana is suddenly overcome and faints. Taurus catches her and strides out of the barracks with her human counterpart slung over her shoulder. Hidden in a deserted cavern, the Klingon Taurus has made a fire. While Belana lies sleeping beside the warm glow, Taurus cooks a lump of meat skewered on a stick over the flames. Taurus rises and roughly wakes Belana.
Wake up, Petach! Eat!
What is it?
Some rodent I killed.
No, thanks.
I'm sorry I can't replicate you a souffle, but you need nourishment. I can't carry you all the way out of here.
How are we supposed to escape this place? There are guards everywhere.
We fight our way out.
Maybe you haven't noticed, but I'm not exactly in fighting form.
That's why you need food. Eat. So, you're what's left over when all the Klingon DNA is taken out.
Apparently.
If I hadn't come along, were you just going to waste away in that prison camp until they kill you for your body parts? Were you too frightened to act?
I was looking for a way to escape.
Looking? I'll show you the way to escape. This and this.
That's the way you respond to every situation, isn't it? If it doesn't work, hit it. If it's in your way, knock it down. No wonder I got kicked out of the academy.
For which you should be eternally grateful.
Well, I'm not. Your temper has gotten me into trouble more times than I can... Listen to me. Listen to us. This is ridiculous. Do you realize that we're each fighting with ourselves?
I'm not the one who's fighting, Petach. If I remember correctly, I'm the one who rescued you from that prison and carried you here. Don't you think you could at least acknowledge that? Can't you even admit that you won't be able to get out of here without me?
I don't know that I can get out of here with you. Brute force isn't going to do it.
Maybe not. Maybe we'll die in the attempt. But that's better than sitting here like frightened Tika cats doing nothing.
There you go again. Out of control. Just leaping into action before you think things through.
Fine, you stay here. I'm getting out.
No, wait a minute. That's not what I meant. I'm sorry. Please. Just before you rescued me, I logged onto the Vidian's computer system. I only had a few seconds, but I think I found a way to access the force field that's cloaking this place. With a few minutes more, I could have deactivated it.
Then Voyager could get a lock on us. Beam us back. Paris, too.
It may not be as exciting as fighting our way out, but it stands a much better chance of working. If I have your help.
So, you need me.
I can't get back to that computer without you. And you'll have to cover for me while I work.
We can't go to the prison barracks. There are too many guards there. In the lab, where they were holding me, there was a security console. That's the last place they would expect us to be.
A guard sits at the command console in the barracks. The prisoners lie on their beds or stand beside them talking. They are exhausted and in pain. Paris leans next to the Talaxian.
They must have taken her to organ processing. Tell me how to get there. Keep your hands off me.
Whatever you say, Paris, but I thought you might like to get out of this place.
Chakotay?
We're at Torres and Durst.
I think they've been taken to what the Vidians call organ processing.
You! Why are you talking to that prisoner?
I was ordered to take him to organ processing.
Why wasn't I notified?
I was told you had been.
I've never seen you before.
My face was just grafted.
Very well. Take him. But from now on, I expect to be notified in advance of all transfers.
Yes, sir.
Torres leads the way cautiously but quickly into the laboratory. B'Elanna follows.
There. I have to bypass the security code so I can access the force field grid. Then I'll have a better idea of what we're dealing with. That should do it. There. That's what we're up against. And I think we're here.
Can you shut it down?
I'm working on it.
What now?
If they didn't know we were here before, they do now. Take it easy. I'll be done in a minute.
You're not frightened anymore, are you?
Maybe I just don't have time to think about it.
Are you hurt? Keep working!
B'Elanna! Stop!
You're not going to hurt me. You need me.
You're right. But if you do not surrender, I will kill her. Drop it!
Chakotay aims at Sulan.
Who are you?
That's what I want to know.
It's Chakotay.
I think I've just about accessed the force field.
Hurry!
Got it.
Captain, the force field has been disrupted.
Mr. Kim, can you get a lock on Commander Chakotay?
Chakotay to Voyager, do you read?
Loud and clear, Commander.
I found them, Captain.
Sulan fires.
No!
No!
Three humans and one Klingon to beam up.
She's badly wounded, Captain.
Sick bay.
Don't. No time.
Torres reaches for B'Elanna's hand and grips it.
You showed true courage. It makes my death an honorable one.
Her eyes glaze over and her hand falls back. Torres is dead. B'Elanna cradles the dead body of her Klingon self and stares at the hand which still grips hers. B'Elanna lies on a medibed in sickbay as the doctor scans her.
Using tissue from your counterpart, I can replicate the Klingon DNA. Then, over the course of several days, I'll reintegrate that genetic material into your cellular structure.
Wait a minute. You're not saying that you're going to change me back?
That's precisely what I'm saying.
Your cell's ability to synthesize proteins has been severely compromised. You need the Klingon genes to survive.
So, she's saving my life again.
I'll get started on the DNA. How are you doing?
I'm not sure. It's been a pretty strange experience. I do know that right now, the way I am, I'm more at peace with myself than I've ever been before. And that's a good feeling.
But?
I'm incomplete. It doesn't feel like me. I guess I've had someone else living inside of me for too long to feel right without her.
I'd have to say that you two made quite a team down there.
I know. I came to admire a lot of things about her. Her strength. Her bravery. I guess I just have to accept the fact that I'll spend the rest of my life fighting with her.
Chakotay is unable to think of anything to say. He starts to walk away, but stops and turns. Changing his mind, he leaves. B'Elanna, her eyes awash with tears, rubs a hand over her forehead, almost wishing the Klingon ridges were still there, but content with what she has learned and what she will once again become. The End, voiced by Marston York for British Sky Broadcasting.